Adam Morrison here. When it comes to top-tier contracting, my go-to choice is McGilvery Environmental. They're not just any contractor. They're the best in Spokane and North Idaho. With years of experience, they handle it all. New construction, meticulous repairs, and asphalt overlays. From start to finish, they ensure your project is completed with the highest quality end results. And here's the scoop for this year. McGilvery Environmental has expanded its services to include asphalt paving. That means top-notch commercial parking lots, residential driveways, and road construction. So, ready to kickstart your project? Reach out to Kip at McGilvery Environmental by calling 208-556-6384 for your free estimate. Don't forget to mention my name, Adam from the Perimeter, and experience the difference that McGilvery Environmental brings to the table. Again, that's 208-556-6384, McGilvery Environmental. My number one choice for all my contracting needs. The Perimeter would like to thank our sponsor, HDG Architecture. HDG is a Spokane-based architectural firm whose aesthetic can be described as an understatement of badassery, an idea that sets the standard for their approach to every client and every project decision. The world is full of poorly designed spaces, and HDG wants to change that. Check out some of their award-winning work at studiohdg.com. Welcome to The Perimeter, Season 3, Episode 19, presented by McGilvery Environmental. We got Brendan, the producer, here. I'm going to recap Santa Clara win. I don't care. I'm not going to talk about Portland. Who cares? And then we're going to go into the road trip, massive road trip coming up with San Francisco at the Chase Center, where the Warriors play. We've played there a couple times, the NCAA tournament. And then the big one against St. Mary's. Still a chance to catch St. Mary's to win the league, but I think if we just take care of business against San Francisco, we lock up that 2 seed, which is perfectly fine. You get that automatic bye in the West Coast Conference tournament, so you only have to win 2 games instead of potentially 3. I'm going to talk about St. Mary's losing Justin Jefferson. I think it changes the kind of the whole game plan and outlook on both sides of how we play them and how they play us. That's a huge loss for them. It sucks. It's obviously an advantage for us, but it sucks when a kid loses to injury. He's having a great season. Remember, he had 16-11 against us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's kind of like their Anton Watson for them, kind of do-everything guy, can shoot it, can guard multiple positions, bigger body, like, so it sucks for them. You just hate seeing a guy drop out like that, so it's going to change the complexion of the game and schematically. Get into the bracket a little bit, where a team, you know, Lunardi and Fox and CBS, we've been talking about that last few episodes, have us. Then I'm going to talk about who should be Player of the Year awards and stuff like that, because I think Graham EK is making a great case for that. He's played terrifically. But last game in the kennel, Saturday?
Saturday night, yeah.
Yeah, Saturday night. Season's flown by. We had that weird stretch, though, where we didn't play for a while. You know what I mean? The students weren't in there. We played some games in there, but the students were there for like 4 of them, I think. And they're always just a little bit different when the students aren't in there. So that's why maybe in my mind, the home games are not as, it seems like it's gone faster is what I'm trying to get to. But Santa Clara obviously beat us January 11th down there, 1 point win or whatever it was, and had a chance to win that basketball game. So there was a lot. Rematch, all those things. Santa Clara's in the hovering around the 100, right? And the net or something like that. So it's still like a quad 2 win, and I know that matters. So it was a great opportunity to get one of those. And I thought our guys did an excellent job to start the basketball game. Santa Clara, who I think is one of the better coach teams in the conference, Herb Sinek's terrific, but they always seem like they drop games that they shouldn't. They're always around 18, like this year they're 18-11. They always win 20 games, but you're always like, man, I really think they can get to 24. They'll lose a couple. But just great roster. The O'Neal kid on the perimeter, it's kind of a pick and pop 4, was great. He had 16 points. Tilly, the German kid, the German national, was good. He had 18-8. 6-8 from the field, 5-6 from the free throw line. And then the big Cafaro off the bench, who was the transfer from Virginia, he's like a 7-footer. He He was 5 for 5 at 10 points. So to start the game, it was really high paced. Both teams were, I think in the first media timeout, if my memory serves, it was they were both 4 for 6. And I think Santa Clara made one more three, so that's why they had the lead. But it was a beautifully played basketball game from both aspects. I thought in the first half, our guys, you know, did a good job of getting through their late actions after O'Neal was making some threes and started playing a little bit better defensively, but really were super efficient offensively. We scored 52 points in that half. Go 20 of 32 and 5 of 8 from downtown, so that's 62 and 62 on the percentages. Graham was great. Nolan was fantastic the whole game. He's 5 for 7. He was great in that first half. It's nice seeing Dusty make a corner three to start the game.
Yeah, totally.
And then he had just made other plays. He had his better game in probably 2 months. 4 for 5, 2 of 2 from three, 10 points, 4 rebounds in 27 minutes. He's got to give us a more of a scoring punch off the bench. Brayden's been terrific. He only played 7 minutes, but a wing scoring punch. And we're not saying like 20. Just go out and get 8 to 12. You know, in limited shot attempts. So if he can do that, it would really help us. But that first half was a beautifully played basketball game. We were up 52-46. And then much like in the second half, it was kind of a little bit back and forth. The offense slowed down a little bit for both sides. Both teams kind of came back to earth shooting the ball. Santa Clara goes 13-35, only 37%. So much better job defensively. O'Neal had 13 in the first half and finished with 16, so we did a much better job on him in the second half. Really closed out to his three-point shooting ability, but he was 3 for 3 in the first half from three, and he ends up 4 for 6, so obviously 1 for 3 in the second. We did a better job on him. And then our offense slowed down a little bit. We still shot 50%, though, 14-28, and then 3 from 8 from downtown, so we go 8 for 16 from three, which is obviously 50%. Terrific. Mm-hmm. -1 on the glass, which was okay because down there we were -13. It was a big factor in the game, so we were much better. Obviously, you obviously want to win it, but a wash is good. They're the best size wise team I think in the conference. Cafaro's a big kid. O'Neal is. Tilly is. Adama Ball, who's their leading scorer, who only had 8 points, but he goes 2 for 7, fouled out, had 4 turnovers. He's a 6'8 wing. So they're built solidly. And they're one of those teams that I say at the start of the year when we talk about the transfer portal, because it always comes up and it's going to be a topic for the rest until they fix it, or if it stays the same, it's going to be a topic. They have like the best, them and probably I'd say LMU have the best opportunity to get like pretty good guys in the transfer portal. Right. Mm-hmm. If you're like, hey, come live in the Bay,
right,
and go to a beautiful campus, and we're a good team, like they always at least get the NIT or the 20 wins and a coach that knows what he's doing. Like, so they have a bunch of transfers, but like high level ones. Like, like I said, Cafaro played at Virginia, Adama Ball played at Arizona. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are not, you know, mid-level guys, and there's nothing wrong with that, but like these are guys that went to big programs and either graduated or just didn't like the role that they were going to have, you know, in their last season or whatever. So I thought it was a great win. I love the way we're playing right now. Graham was terrific at 26 points, 9 of 13, 8 of 9 from the free throw line, has 7 rebounds, played 32 minutes. Anton was great his last game, 5 of 9, 13 points, 5 rebounds. Ben Gregg has been terrific in the starting lineup. Didn't have a great game, but you know that happens. Hit 6 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. So it wasn't terrible. 3 steals. Ryan Nemhard, who I think is really kind of solidified the transfer, I guess, and taking over that one spot, you know, the lead guard role in the back half of this season, especially in conference play, right? Remember at the start, it was like, man, he's not playing very good. Yeah. You'd be the first one to say that. Mm-hmm. He's been terrific in conference. I mean, really shooting the ball amazingly. He had back-to-back double-doubles with assists. Had a great night, 7 of 13, 6 rebounds, 17 points, 6 assists, only 2 turnovers, another great floor game. Then Nolan was terrific, 6 of 12, 5 of 7 from 3, 3 of 4 from the free throw line, 20 points, 5 assists, 0 turnovers. So our backcourt's playing the best they have had for about a month all season, like tandeming. And it's finally coming to fruition because Nolan's reached 40% from three.
Mm-hmm.
Remember at the start, my hypothesis was that he was going to play better just because he can be off the ball and he's more of a scorer shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And it
mm-hmm.
took a while. And so early it's like, well, maybe this is not the right fit. And it was easy to do that, but as the, you know, what's the term, like regress the mean or whatever, like as the we got more data, it's finally got to where we thought it was going to be, where Ryan's been a terrific ball handler, assist maker. Obviously, he's scoring it better. And then Nolan's like our three-point threat, especially with Steele being out.
Yeah.
So I thought he was terrific. I like where this team's looking right now, man. Like, honestly, I know Santa Clara's not the world beaters, but they're a good basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
We're scoring at a great clip. Our assist to turnover is great. 17 assists, only 8 turnovers, 7 steals. So we're not throwing the ball away. And guys are playing with a lot of confidence, kind of with the chip. And, you know, we started playing good in conference, but I think that Kentucky game really helped turn the tides as far as confidence-wise. So, huge game coming up at San Francisco, the Chase Center. So I don't know why they did this, to be honest. I don't think San Francisco – I don't know why. I get you make more money. That's got to be the reason. But it counts as a road game. It's not a neutral because San Francisco is the host and it's in conference play. So we get to play a neutral game that counts as a road game that could become a quad one win, and we've played in that building before. They never have, I don't think.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah.
That's, right.
Yeah, that is interesting.
So it's just odd that we kind of get that break because that game is really tough to play at Memorial Gym. Like, it's a weird gym, a cool gym, but it's like we've had some close ones. Remember last year, Rashear Bolton had to have a tip in to win.
Yeah,
and then. Even with our best teams, yeah. Remember that one year we had Rui and BC's crew, and I think Rui hit like a couple jumpers late to win by like 4. Mm-hmm. Like, we've had way superior talented teams than them. And this is when Kyle Smith was there and Todd Golden, and obviously you see what Kyle Smith's doing, a great coach at Washington State. But like, you're just like, man, we can't play good. We don't play good in this gym for some reason. So it's a great advantage. San Francisco's third in 3 losses. So in their mind, if they can win, it'll be a split. And then there's the weird net, all the net stuff for the tiebreaker goes into effect, assuming that we beat St. Barry's.
St. Barry's, right.
That's assuming, though, right? And so it's a massive game for that aspect, that if we can win that, we obviously get the lock up the number 2 seed. And then, you know, obviously we're going to, you know, play St. Mary's just the same because we need more quad ones. But it kind of alleviates the pressure off that game a little bit, if that makes sense.
It does, yeah.
You know, so I'm really looking forward to it. San Francisco's done a great job of always scouting us. Kyle Bankhead, all the old Zag fans that listen to this, played with me my freshman year, played at Walla Walla High School, and then walked on and ended up having a really good career. Gonzaga is kind of a, you know, role player, shooter, good mm-hmm. defender. He's a great assistant coach now. So, like, his scouts are always really good against us. He knows our tendencies. He knows Beam Hike. You know, Steven played with all those guys, obviously, right, my former teammates. So that's a little wrinkle that people don't sometimes pick up on the national media or the local media, even mm-hmm. that it's weird playing your buddies and weird playing, you know, playing guys that you know how he kind of thinks. So it's going to be an interesting game. They got a terrific club. I like the Mogbo kid is really good. Marcus Williams goes in backcourt. They both average almost 15 points a game. They shoot it pretty good as a crew, 49%, 35 from three. That's not bad. Plus 5 on the glass. They average just under 80. We're in the 86s, so they score a little bit more than other clubs.
And they just came off a really good game against St. Mary's.
Yeah, they lost.
St. Mary's.
They lost by 4.
Yeah.
And so they're like really, I mean, they're just good. Mm-hmm. They've been good for 5-6 years. So I'm curious to see how they play us inside defensively. Because, like I said, Graham has been, I think the stat I read was Graham's had 8 straight games with 19 points or more, something like, you know, something like that, 8 or 9. So he's been just absolutely terrific for us inside. And, you know, that's going to be an issue for San Francisco. And then, you know, the start of games, I always, especially on the radio, I always talk about it, but double team packages, right? I always talk about what's the team, you know, are they coming on the strong side? Or are they going straight one-on-one? Are they going to go, you know, there's different color variations how we used to do it. White was off a bad shooter. Red was, I think blue was big to big. Red was opposite side. And then I think black was double from the bottom side. Like, there's different ways you can do it. So I'll be curious to see how they handle that. But our guard's going to have to continue to play good. We have to play good inside. Like I said, that Mogbo guy's fantastic as an inside presence. And yeah, it's going to be, I mean, he's averaging 14 and or 15 and 10. Great player. Shooting 66%. So it's going to be a fun one. I'm going to be like everybody else and watching it on television. I'm going to be at my daughter's state basketball tournament. So I'm going to miss this road trip. Obviously, I'll tune in and watch the games. But it should be an interesting atmosphere in that Chase Center. It's probably going to be like a quasi home game for us because we have a ton of fans in the Bay Area.
Yeah, I wonder how many people will travel down there because it's an easy trip. And
it's an easy trip. It's a cool experience. Yeah. Go to an NBA arena. I think San Francisco is still a cool city. You can say what you want, but there's some dumpy parts to every place in America, right? You know, just stay out of the riffraff, you'll be fine. But cool area. It's a nice time of year too to go down there. It's a little bit chillier than the other Californias, but it's still warmer than everywhere else, right? It's still California. So
definitely.
Yeah, hopefully we have a good output there. We haven't played great. Well, no, that's fair. We played great in the neutral at we played USC, but USC is not very good. But I'm just thinking of like cosmetically, or how did we shoot it? We shot it good there. Didn't shoot it very good against UConn.
No.
So I'm just, you know, I'm trying to go NBA arena.
Yeah.
You could say Rupp is like an NBA arena, so we played great there. Like the size of it and the look of it is kind of like that. So that's always something just to think about. I know it's a weird thing, but, you know, you're going to a completely different, you know, all these West Coast Conference gyms are small, and it's a thing. It's not a major thing, but it's a real thing. Something to consider. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that game. Obviously, a lot of things, you know, for the marbles or whatever. I'm trying to think of lots of things to play for. I don't know why that was so difficult.
I mean, it's really like, if I don't like thinking in these hypotheticals too much, but like if we lose this game, there's a lot of pressure on Gonzaga to beat St. Mary's
to
finish in second.
100%. And you know, I'm not a betting man. I don't bet on sports, but like Pepperdine's not going to beat St. Mary's to help us get them, maybe get them a loss to go into to have a championship game, or that last game be a championship type thing. But regardless of that, let's just say we beat San Francisco, knock on wood, and St. Mary's is going in. Almost positive they've never gone undefeated in conference play. So they're going to be playing for that, and they'd put a banner up for that.
Yeah.
So that part is going to be wild and raucous. But again, San Francisco is going to be a tough one. I like our club right now. I think we have the advantage of talent-wise and how well we're playing now. But it's a huge game, and we haven't had a huge game in the second-to-last game of the season in a long time that against somebody not named St. Mary's.
Right. No, that's
so
true.
So it's kind of cool that they're playing for something. They've had a terrific year. We're playing for that bye is so crucial. I don't think people understand, just because obviously you play one less game, but you know, that first game, anything can happen, and you're playing a team that's just like desperate and has nothing to lose. You know, you're playing like a Portland or Pacific or whoever, LMU, that's just like, fuck it, we're already, you know, shitty year, so let's just go out and let it rip, fellas. And those are dangerous ones. You know, so that'll be a fun one Thursday. And then coming up, is it Saturday? Me and St. Mary's in Moraga, Walnut Creek. You know, it's the game.
The Perimeter will be right back after a word from our sponsor.
You're feeding it.
I will, I promise.
Thanks to our Premier Rewards Visa credit card from ICCU, we earned enough cash back to stock up on puppy supplies.
But we don't have a puppy.
They're very convincing children.
In St. Mary's in Moraga, Walnut Creek, you know, it's the game for, like I just described, first or second place in theory, but I think it'll be solidified second, and then I think, you know, it's a quad one opportunity. If you can win on the road at St. Mary's, that helps our tournament chances out a ton at large wise.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it spoils their undefeated season. You know, that's a real thing.
That would be, even if they win the WCC, I think the team would be very proud of upsetting their perfect WCC season. Yeah,
100%. Yeah, it's just a cool little nugget to have. And, you know, when I've talked about St. Mary, especially the last season two, like how much respect I have for the program, but it'd be a fun nugget to take that away from them a little bit. St. Mary's, I think the key, Graham's got to play terrific again inside. But not having Justin Jefferson, I preface this at the opener, 16-11 against us. He's 6'8", 6'9", moves like Anton, flies around. They could post him up. He's a capable three-point shooter, having a great sophomore, just a good complimentary, good player. You know what I mean? Just like glue, like a good St. Mary's guy. And that's not a knock, but like, oh, this guy's going to be good for a long time in this system. And I don't know what he did, but he hurt his knee. I don't know what type of knee injury it is, but nonetheless, he's out for the season. Sucks. But that changes the complexion. I remember he played all 40 against us, and he had 16-11, and he kind of negated Anton. Not that he kicked Anton's ass, but it was a wash, right? And usually Anton's our ace in the hole on, oh, he had, you know, 16-9 and four steals and three assists and two blocks, you know what I mean? Yeah. And he could guard all your actions. Like, that's why you didn't score. You know, he kind of was that for them in that game and really made it difficult for us. If you think back at that first game, though, we lost, what, 64-62?
Yeah, 64-62.
Like, we controlled that game for 35 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then you remember, like, there were some really shitty calls at the end of that game.
Yeah, there was a handful of them, I feel like.
And it led to, you know, that incident with the throwing the stuff and the kennel club. And we cover that tremendously. But, like, I keep thinking, I'm like, we didn't play very good that game. The officials weren't great. You know, not that you like to do that, but there was, like, one clear violation. And then the box out foul against Anton was awful.
Yeah.
Late in the game. Like, we controlled that tempo. So, like, going into this St. Mary's game, if we handle San Francisco, let's just assume we do.
Yeah.
I still like our chance. I know St. Mary's is hard to play at, but like without Jefferson and then the way our guys are playing now, like confidence wise, shooting the ball better, Graham's been fantastic. And then they're kind of playing with a little bit of an edge. I like our chances, man. Like I really do. Not just because I'm a Zag. It's just like if you just match up talent for talent, like I think we're fine. Obviously, we're going to have to do a good job against Mahaney. I think he had 20 against us, but it was like a 7 for 17, 20. So it wasn't terrific. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It wasn't anything wild. And then we need to obviously take away Marcelonis, who's been fantastic as the off guard for them this year. But losing Jefferson really hurts. And
it does, yeah.
And then neutralizing Saxon, the big kid inside, who's a better player than he looks. And I mean that in the nicest way. He doesn't look very effective, but every time we play him, I'm like, oh, he had 14-9, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And two blocks and he played 38 minutes. They didn't get in foul troubles. He played smart. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I understand that. So I just like our chances though, man. Like I like how this team's playing right now. I like how we're flying around. I like how we're shooting the basketball. We got a potential player of the year candidate in EK. Nembhard is going to be a first teamer. I think Nolan has a chance to be a first teamer as well. And then Anton as well. Anton's had a tremendous season.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I'm really looking forward to these games. Obviously, like I said, I won't be in person, which kind of sucks, but my daughter's playing in state. So, you know, those there's plenty of, the Gonzaga games will exist for almost forever, whatever, right, yeah. You know what I mean? But your kid, you know, whatever. So I'll watch them on TV and analyze it through that lens, but pretty excited to, you know, see what happens. But
I was going to ask about the bench. Like in the St. Mary's game, the last St. Mary's game, each team had 2 points off the bench.
Yeah.
Like that's like, just... and like, I don't see the Gonzaga, like with Huff, with Braden and with Stromer. I think that might be the difference maker right there.
Yeah, right. That's a very good point. Like, you know, Braden's played great all season. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of yo-yo, and some of it's just the minutes he gets. Like, mm-hmm. he only had 7 minutes last game. I don't know if he didn't like the matchup or something, but he had 2 points, but he's had plenty of 20s and 15s, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you're exactly right. Like, if he can be a spark for us off the bench, be great. Dusty played good. He had 10 points, like we mentioned, the Santa Clara game, but it wasn't just shooting threes. Like, so much better. He got a tip in. I think he had a hard rip and go, and then he made 2 threes. It's like, see, that's what he should look like, and hopefully this gives him life to continue to play well, because I don't think he's been bad. It's just the offensive side is just hasn't been productive, but you can get lost a little bit when you're just a corner, when they tell you just to be a corner three-point shooter, or I got to make sure I'm phrasing this the right way. Not placing you there, but that's where your shots are just coming in the flow of the action, the actions, right? Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's different. And so he's adjusted to that, but if he can be a fly around guy, but you're exactly right. Like the bench thing is a big factor. Our bench is better than theirs. They'd probably tell you that right through your face and say in front of their own guys. Right. You know what I mean? But it should be a fun atmosphere. That's always a fun gym, man, even though it's hostile. It used to be like really vulgar, and then they toned it just a little bit, just like everybody else has, just society in general. You know what I mean? Like some of the stuff was like pretty bad. But they added, when I played there, they didn't have like this, they actually have like a nice big screen thing, and they added seats, and like it looks livelier and prettier inside. And yeah, it's always a fun occasion to go down there and play that game.
I wonder if tickets are hard to get. Considering we'll be playing in San Francisco and then just, you know, 25 minutes north, I think.
I think.
Of there. So I wonder if there'll be some Zag fans at the game. So.
Yeah, they allot a certain amount, but I'm sure most of the time they give us the bare minimum, which is normal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And because your own fans will buy them out, and we do probably the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a fun atmosphere. I have a lot of respect for St. Mary's. They got a great team, but again, with no Justin Jefferson, it makes it difficult. I bet you I'd be curious to see what that line would have been, and if you're talking Vegas, would have been 2 weeks ago, and then with Jefferson, and then what, you know, how much that changes that line, because he was terrific against us. Are we ranked?
Yeah, we're ranked now.
Oh, sweet.
That news came out just this morning.
Oh, okay.
Before I wrote up the notes. After I wrote up the notes. And yeah, we...
20 and then 20 in the AP and 22 in the coaches?
Yep.
Sweet. Well, back to having the little number by your name. Looks a little bit better on TV.
Definitely.
That's about all it's worth, but yeah.
Well, it'd be nice to have, because St. Mary's went up to 11 in the AP, so it's a pretty...
Yeah, no, it's, you're 100%. This is a massive road trip, man. I don't even have to say that the fans listening, you know, or don't even listen. Everybody knows that this is a big road trip for us. Hopefully we're ready to go. I got to bring up a topic, I guess it's for college basketball, the Wake Forest Duke deal where the kid got...
Yeah.
Hit on his leg or whatever. Filipowski, one of the better kids in the country, is a post player. You know, I've been asked or been reading, should we ban court storming? And what, if not, how do you prevent it? And then, like, what's the penalties? So I've been in a couple court storming situations. My freshman year, we used to have the tournament at Santa Clara, the West Coast Conference tournament, and I was on the floor. We scored a late basket, I think almost at the buzzer, to beat Santa Clara at their place, obviously, and we go to the tournament. We were still a tournament team, but it was cool. Our crowd, our students were in mass down there, stormed the court. That was awesome. Yeah. Great memory. I think I had a good game that game, probably like 11 or something, 12. Or, you know, I like played good for a freshman off the bench. And so that was cool. And then I was, my sophomore year, we lost to St. Mary's at St. Mary's. And that was honestly a little bit scary. Like, kids kind of run by you and like stick their elbow out. And this is before the camera age that they have now.
Totally.
And then this, the shit people say to you is like, they're baiting you to like fight. And so I understand both sides, and I'm going to play devil's advocate on each one, because I think each one is logical and legitimate. I stormed the field this year. My cousin played for University of Wyoming, starting left tackle, had a great year, first team all Mountain West, but I went to his first game against Texas Tech. And they won at the literally fourth down, you know, second overtime where you have to go for two and scored. I stormed the field. It was awesome. That's Ran awesome, into it. You know what I mean? It was cool. But like most people that storm the court, kids, you know, college age kids, we call them kids, but they're legally adults, have good intentions. I firmly believe that, even though it's society sucks in general. But I think most people are to go to sporting events at the amateur levels are there to have fun. And it's not that, you know, it's a big deal, but it's not that big of a deal. It's not like NFL football games where, you know, half the guys are really drunk and then they fight each other. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm basing it off of. And not that the NFL is a bad product, but there's some, like every year you see like just people beating the shit out of each other. And you're kind of like, oh, dude, this is, well, you can't bring kids and like, holy smokes, man. It's a team that you're not even involved with, whatever. And you go on a rant and everybody's heard that rant. So I get that part of it, like that experience is terrific, especially for college basketball. You want students to go, and that's harder than people think. We're blessed at the Kennel that we have a culture of go to the games, but some places don't, right? And so just getting students there, you know, you could always blame alcohol. So like the counter to it is like, don't serve alcohol to students, even if they're of age, but how do you, how do you do that? And you're losing a lot of its revenue. I mean, and I think it's fine to have a drink at a game. Like any sport, I can't remember the last sporting event that was a professional sporting event, or a professional sporting event that I went, I didn't have a beer, at least one, right? I can't even remember.
I can't. Well, right? I've been to Gonzaga games where I didn't get to have a beer.
But that's about like, it. But a professional game.
Professional game, yeah.
It's like, can you remember not having like a cocktail at least?
No.
Yeah, it's like, it's automatic. Part of American culture. So I understand, you know, the taking away the fun side of things, right? But then, you know, the way like gambling is now, with like parlays and shit. Okay. This is going to be a long winded, you know, reason why I'm going against it now. The way kind of the, you know, there's a certain, I guess the frat culture would be the best way to describe it. So like dudes want to be known to like do something to another person, you know, especially an athlete. Like, I got this guy. That's a real thing. You know, and then, like, just overall player safeties are as a... And then, like, liability, too. Right? I mean, I know it says on the back of your ticket, if you enter the playing surface, it's on you. But if somebody ever gets, like, morbidly injured, there's still... Like, a lawyer's going to go, that doesn't matter. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like... You still have a, should protect a fan. You know what I'm saying?
You have to
like,
have precautions in place to protect, like, protect the players.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Or a fan. You know what I'm saying? Like, what if a fan goes on there and gets trampled? Like, I guarantee that family, if that happened, God forbid, would win the lawsuit, even though it says, don't go on the fort. They would be like, nah, you owe us something. You know what I'm saying? Or we're going to litigate you to death and make this public. So just, anyway. So I don't know what you really do, because... It's $100,000, I think, in the SEC if you go. You have to pay the other team. $100,000.
Oh, it's just like...
It's a fine.
It's a fine.
Okay, so that makes sense. But, like, if you're a college kid, you're gonna have a shit.
Yeah,
you're gonna like run on the floor like, cool, write the check, guys. I'm paying you fucking $20,000. So five of us covered it. You know what I mean? Like it's right? Such a
yeah,
100,000. You're like, wow. I think in just some of the other leagues, it's like 5 to 10,000. So that's like laughable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then people are like, well, you know, you see sometimes they run out with those ropes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always the, you know, yellow vest, whatever that company is.
Right.
Facility people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a knock, but like a lot of times it's older people or it's like a side hustle. So like if I'm that person, would you like risk your own injury or health to like stop a drunk college kid? No, I wouldn't. And then if they were like yelled at you, you'd be like, okay, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
fire me or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm always just like, I'm not blaming those people at all ever because like, what, why would you, it's not your job. So like my point is like, if they're running out with a tiny rope and a stampede comes, like if they drop the rope, I'd be like, smart decision, man, screw that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
So I don't know what some people suggested, like you let the players get off the court of the opposing team that lost. And then you let the students storm. I think that's an okay solution.
In the moment, though, like I don't think a college student's even going to
care. It's so hard. I know. Yeah. So, like, I get it because Filipowski really legitimately looks like he could have been injured. And then it happened to Caitlin Clark this year on the women's side. And she's, mm-hmm. I mean, she's the, you know, best women's player in college for sure. And then, like, she drives actually real revenue and ratings. So, mm-hmm. like, on the women's side, if she would have been out because of that, there would have been some heads would have rolled, and rightfully so. Mm. Not just because it's her, it's just money-wise. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, money. Like,
any student athlete, but it's, I have to do the disclaimer because it's today's society, but like,
yeah.
She's more valuable than some of the other gals playing. Yeah. It's just, it is what it is. So I don't know, man. Like I said, I've shared good experiences, I've shared one bad experience. I think it's, I think they stormed the court when I was at Mead my junior year. We beat Ferris, who was really good. You know what I'm saying? I remember that. It just popped in my head. Like, I think they stormed the court and we won in overtime. Yeah. It was cool.
We stormed a court against when I was at Mount Spokane and we beat Mead, mm-hmm. Beat you. We stormed the court.
Yeah. Like it's fun.
It's fun. And like, but it was like, it wasn't a ton of people, and we probably mm-hmm. stayed away from you, the players.
Yeah.
But this Saturday, like I was thinking as you were talking about this, like St. Mary's has a chance of going undefeated in the WCC. They're gonna storm that court if they win that game.
They've stormed before, they stormed whatever a few years ago. Whenever they've always stormed when they beat us, and mm-hmm. so I get it, man. It's so hard because. But here's the other part. Is like, if you're a student or just a fan, and like the younger generation should understand this. This is not me just trying to be an asshole, but like everything's on fucking film, man. Now, how do you not know that? So like, I think a deterrent should be, all right, if you storm and it's viewed that you were either vulgar or you potentially injured a player either side, we can expel you from the university.
100%, yeah.
And I think that would make it where people run on the court, but they're just like, I'm going to cheer with our team and just, I'm going there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right in the moment, I think it's hard to do, to you know, process all that, but I think that helps because like when the deal happened with us, when they were throwing shit,
yeah,
they had, I think it was like 87 pictures of
80s. Oh man.
And people are like, well, and you're like, yeah, man, like everything. I tell my kids that all the time. Like, not that they're doing anything nefarious, but like, don't tell on yourself. Everything's on camera, man.
Yeah.
Everything. So I think that would help it. But I don't know. I'm split kind of. I understand if you're John Shire being ridiculously upset, mm-hmm. he has every right to be. And then obviously Filipowski, like, you can ruin somebody's career. But I got to play devil's advocate fan. Like, and positive experience, like, well, that's a pretty cool experience too, but obviously you don't want to run into a guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's hard. Like,
yeah,
I don't know what to do. But I think $100,000 fine is like, that makes more sense than the 5 and 10, obviously.
Yeah. But the students, yeah, like you said, but the students don't even think about that.
No,
like,
you don't.
I didn't even know that they get, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I didn't, obviously I didn't know it until yeah. until somebody, I saw an article and that's what it was.
Yeah.
Cause yeah, when LSU stormed against Kentucky the other night and somebody said $100,000 check goes yeah. to Kentucky, and they, I mean, that's probably like a hotel stay for them. You know what I mean? Totally. It really is.
It really,
how
yeah.
much staff they have, and they're playing good. So hopefully they continue.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a interesting topic. It's one that I think there's logic behind both, but I think the purveying thought that will win is just don't have people on the playing surface. And that makes, I mean, I can't really argue against it because yeah. it's just like, no shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, liability, injuries, potential fights, even accidental stuff. Like, I think that kid for Wake Forest just ran in, the first kid ran into that Duke player, but I haven't, you know, overly analyzed. I saw a couple clips, but I was like, well.
Oh, man. I'm watching the clip now. It's just like, well, yeah.
See, it's hard.
Filipowski is like, he's just walking across the court.
Yeah, it's
and
hard
the player, like the crowd's coming towards him, but he also like put out an arm and like,
yeah. Back. See,
but he's trying to protect himself.
See, that's yeah. the thing. Is like, I think, I don't know. It's kind of like when streakers or whatever enter a playing field. Like, I think like in the NFL, I know that this is kind of a not a logical take, but like, let somebody spear one of those guys one time.
Yeah.
Right? Like, just really form tackle them.
Mm-hmm.
And then same thing with the storm of the court. Like, if you catch an elbow from a player, man, that's on you.
That's on you, you know,
because yeah. you have to protect yourself. So it's just a weird topic. I don't know what to do, but I think what's going to rule out is they're just going to ban it or just say, hey, you know, like make it really heavy. Like you could lose a scholarship or you can lose a visit opportunity. You know what I'm saying? Make mm-hmm. it to where like the other team's coach are like, don't storm the fucking court if we win this game. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, but again, if you're a college student, why would you give a shit? I wouldn't care. Right? You've had a few drinks and it's exciting. You're at a game with your friends. It's something that you can remember. You know what I mean? I just talked about like three instances where it was fun.
Yeah.
So like, and I didn't give a shit about the other team or if I hurt somebody, I don't care.
I think as a fan, like, you have to be aware. And if you are storming the court, you just need to be aware where the players are.
Because yeah.
you also wouldn't want to injure one of your players, because that could also happen, too.
100%.
Like, so, yeah, I think it's watching them storm the court, like, it is, like, they're all coming from all angles when they're coming out. Like, there needs to be some control here.
Well, like, I know in Europe, and it's different, but, like, for EuroLeague, they have, if you watch their games, they have that barrier.
Yeah.
And then the players sit behind the bench, and then there's another. So, like, fans are there, but they're, you know, like, 20 feet away.
Yeah.
And I've seen people suggest that, but it's like, well, you got to redesign this stadium. You know what I mean? I'm like, that's too
long. You're talking about, like, adding barriers, and so there's a lot of infrastructure there. Like,
yeah.
That's a hard thing to
do. Well, and, you know, and... Like, if you a courtside seat is worth a ton of money for yeah. a lot of programs, and those pay a lot of bills.
Mm-hmm.
And same with the NBA. Like, well, the guy sitting at, I used to know the family that sat right next to the commentary table, half court in on the bench side for the Lakers. And it was the Steven Jackson. He used to be LA Gear. And really nice family, awesome people. They had four of those tickets. Those tickets were like probably like $250 a piece.
Wow.
And he had them for like 20 years. You know what I'm saying? Like that, you know, you just spread that all the way across and then the seats behind him, like you're talking $10 million or whatever. Like you take that away. That's paying a lot of bills, right?
Is,
you
yeah.
know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, so it's interesting how you can solve it, but I'll be curious to see if anything happens, but they've talked about this topic for years.
I think anytime someone gets injured.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So. But I also wonder, like, the Duke, I don't, so the Duke coach, what's his name?
Shire. Like, John Shire.
If it was Coach K, and he's calling for that. Is it getting more press than it is?
Probably.
I mean, it's already getting a ton of press, but like,
yeah,
I feel like Coach K says something like they might do something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, and it is a shame. So like they shouldn't, like, he, the kid should not be, he shouldn't get it. If he, he shouldn't be put in that situation.
Yeah, so. it's a no win for anybody.
Yeah.
But hopefully he's okay. Mm-hmm.
The perimeter will be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Hey, it's Olive. I just got my first ICCU debit card. Now I just need some money in my account. If only there was someone who could transfer in some allowance.
Wow.
But hopefully he's okay. Mm-hmm. I think the last topic we're just going to go over is where Lenardi has us and Fox and CBS. Lenardi has us the last four in, 11 seed in the play-in game against Seton Hall. So the first four in Dayton. That'd be kind of a cool experience.
Yeah.
Fox has us as a 10 seed. I think a 10 seed would be amazing. I don't want an 8 or 9. 8 and 9 sucks.
Yeah.
You want that 7, skip those, 10, whatever mm-hmm. else. You know what I'm saying? Like 8 or 9 sucks.
Yeah.
And then CBS has us the last four in and has us in the first four in the 11, in the Midwest playing game. So same thing as Lenardi. So we've obviously moved up in that in the minds of the
Lenardi had us as the last four in last week as an 11 seed. I mean, I feel like this will all, it's all going to change if we win these two games, win WCC, we could end up probably getting a much higher seed than
yeah.
what these are projected. But
yeah, I just hope it's 7
yeah.
or 10, mm-hmm. you know, 7, 10, 11, whatever.
But yeah.
It's just that 8, 9 sucks because you got to play a 1, obviously. That's not a crazy take, but it's just
mm-mm.
playing again. That's what's happened to the, unfortunately, to the girls program.
Yeah.
You know, they've had great seasons and they get the 8-9 and it's like, God, do you feel bad? Cause their formula has been good and the league dips their RPI. And so then they get in that 8-9 game mm-hmm. and then they have to play a buzzsaw in the second round. It sucks. But yeah, I think, we're trending in the right direction. It's still a great team. What are we, 21-6 now or 22-6? What are we?
I should have this on.
I got it. It's 22-6, 12-2 in West Coast Conference. So yeah, I really like where this team's headed, man. And that's not just fodder for the show. I mean, we're playing good. Guys are playing great in the backcourt. I think our rotations are great with Ben Gregg being in the starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Luca's been okay off the bench. He didn't play last game, but he's like the eighth guy that they trust enough to play. So he's been fine. And I'm just looking forward to these next two games coming up.
Yeah, I was going to ask, you mentioned WCC Player of the Year. You mentioned Graham EK as being who you think should win.
Yeah, like, I think he should be a candidate.
I don't know much about the other teams, but mm-hmm. it does seem like he's in a spot right now. He's just playing so well.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not even like, you don't even really notice it. He's just like,
it's quiet.
It's very, very quiet.
Yeah. But he's been, you know, extremely efficient. He went 9-for-9 against Pacific. Then he was 9-for-14 against Portland. Then he was 9-for-13. This last game against Santa Clara, I think it's 9 straight games. Huddy always says it, but I never remember. 9 straight games with 19 points or more. So basically 20 a game.
Yeah.
It's been great. I mean, he's got to continue. I'm looking at the other kids. I don't think Mahaney's played good enough for St. Mary's. Marcellonis has played really good in league. He could be a candidate. And then the what's the kid's name? Mugbo or whatever I said for San Francisco is the other one. But I think if you're just looking at like numbers and, you know, it's got to go on the better teams.
Mm-hmm.
Graham's that guy.
Yeah, he's definitely.
I think it's just kind of working itself into it, and mm-hmm. then we'll have a lot of first teamers. The Ganton will be for sure, and then I have to dive into the Nemhard and Hickman numbers, but I think they'll be at least all conference. You know, not I don't know if they do first or second team, but all WCC. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man, I'm looking forward to this road trip, watching it, and it's going to be exciting. It's best time of year, man. When it starts getting the conference tournaments and games mean a lot more, and
yeah.
There's stuff to play for, and you know, you get any of these games, your best guys have to play good. This mm-hmm. is kind of how it is. Obviously, schematics and coaching matters, but there's certain things. It's like, hey, man, you guys got to go get it, and that's how it works out. So, man, we'll be on next week with recap. Hopefully, it's hey, we're the second seed. We beat St. Mary's, and You play Monday against the winner of this, and then we can talk about that, talk about Vegas, and then, you know, we'll have a better clue on, like you mentioned, how it changes of, you know, bracketology and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think, personally, I think if we win these two and then we win the semifinal game, and it could be against San Francisco again, that's another quad.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Let's say we lost in the championship game.
Yeah.
I think we're still in. That's just me, but
I do too. I think
we look like a tournament team. Mm-hmm. You know, at that time we'd be 25-7. I think it's just like
it'd be hard to not include them, especially
I know
with the net ranking. Like now we're getting into net ranking where we'll could be in the top 15 maybe if we beat San Francisco and St. Mary. So like there's all you. I'd have to go into the history of it, but like I imagine any team under a certain amount in the net ranking has probably never missed in the time that it's been around
the 30 and a blow or whatever. Yeah, no, that makes sense. So I think you're right too, that it'd almost be a purposeful thing not to preclude us. But again, I've said it all year, or I've said it for the half of the year, just go win two games in Vegas. That's all you gotta do.
All you gotta do.
And then you don't have to worry about nothing, and then worry about seating, and we don't have to sweat. So we're going in the right direction. Guys are playing terrific. Thanks for listening. Appreciate our sponsors, McGilvery Environmental, Idaho Central Credit Union, HDG Architecture. See you next week.